Luke chapter 11, as we continue in the book of Luke, preaching through the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11, you've got to go up higher than that, brother. Luke chapter 11. Picking it up here, verse 29. Verse 29. Luke 11 and verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Now, last week, we preached about the devil and Jesus Christ and them accusing Jesus Christ of casting out devils by Beelzebub and the whole thing. And we ended up in those last few verses there, verse 27 and 28. And in verse 20 it says, "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." And oh, she's wanting to glorify Mary. She's wanting to worship Mary. She's wanting to hail Mary. And so on one side of this thing, we've got a Hail Mary papist, and then you go down a few more verses, and you've got a bunch of charismatic sign seekers, and in the middle of that thing in verse 28, you got the Bible believer, thank God. Amen. That's what we got in this age. Yeah, that's it. The religion, it's either going to be just a bunch of religion and Mary worship and all that. It ain't going to go anything to do with the Bible. It's going to be what a church says instead of what the Bible says. Or you're going to go down a bunch of sign seekers where it's all about feelings and it's all about what we like and just whatever the Spirit leads and all that. And then right in the middle of that thing is where we need to be. Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. The Bible believer. Amen. And I'm going to be a Bible believer. That's my crowd right there. Amen. But anyway, notice in this story here, Jesus Christ tells these people about something, about the sign of Jonas. The sign of Jonah. And if you're familiar with the story of Jonah, as a matter of fact, if you'd like to look back there, Jesus says the only sign these folks are going to get is the sign of Jonah. So hold your place there in Luke and look with me in the book of Jonah, if you can, in the Old Testament. Jonah, it's on page 943 in the Old Testament. In my Bible, I don't know what it is in yours. All right, but it's in Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. And here's Jonah. He's going to go to the people here. Now think about it. Jonah, if you're familiar with the story of Jonah, what happened to Jonah? Jonah was unwilling to do what God wanted him to do. And so the story of Jonah really is about God making someone that's unwilling, willing. Amen. And you know what the Lord did? He prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah. And God's got one for you. Amen. Amen. If you're not willing, God has a fish for you. Amen. God's got a whale of a story. Amen. For you. He'll prepare it just for you to get you into His will. You count on that. Amen. The Lord knows what it's going to take. And for Jonah, it took a whale. Amen. And getting swallowed by a whale and all that. And Jonah, the whale finally, he gets seasick of Jonah. And God says, get rid of him. And he pukes him back out. And I shouldn't say that, I guess, in the pulpit. Is that a bad word to say? I don't know. He upchucked him, whatever. You know, he regurgitated him, okay? He got him out. And Jonah, he gets all cleaned up and says, I'm glad that's over. And God says, all right, now, Jonah, now you're ready to go do what I told you to do. And so here comes Jonah. He's coming to Nineveh.
Amen. And he's going to go in there to Nineveh and do what God called him to do. And you hear people say all the time, well, you know, Jonah is a picture of Jesus Christ. Jonah is the only man before Jesus Christ that went to hell and got out. Amen. He's the only man that went to hell and got back out to talk about it. And he was ready to preach after that. Amen. Hey, you get some more preachers, spend some time in hell, you're ready to preach. I can tell you that much. Amen. And then Jonah, he had to go through some hell before he was ready to preach what God had for him to preach. Amen. And so anyway, here it comes. But here's the thing about it. Now think about it. Well, Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. So that's the sign. That ain't the sign. The sign of the prophet Jonas. The sign of the prophet Jonas was not being in that whale for 3 days and coming back out. He said he was assigned to the Ninevites. What did the Ninevites know about that? The story of Jonah hadn't been published in the Ninevite Times. Nobody knew about that but Jonah. Okay, the book of Jonah, he didn't write it while he was in the whale's belly and send it out to the seven churches in Asia. None of that happened. You understand? When this thing happened, only Jonah knows about it. Those Ninevites, they don't know anything about Jonah's past and him going in the whale. They don't know any of that. So how is Jonah a sign to the Ninevites? Well, look here in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. He had enough of being whale food. According to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So he's a third of way into the city. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's his message. That's his message. Point number one. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Point number two. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Point number three. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And in conclusion, yet in 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's his message. And he just keeps saying it, going through the city, after he gets about a third of the way through. And he's just shouting it out. That's it. You know what that is? That's the only sign that God gave those Ninevites. Was what? The preaching of the Word of God. Now look back with me there, please, in the book of Luke. Notice it now. Pray the Lord allow you to see it. Here it is. Here it is. Verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now watch it, verse 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. Why? For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to do what? To do what? To hear the wisdom of Solomon. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Why? For they repented at what? The preaching of Jonah. What was the sign? The sign is not the Noah being in the whale's belly is a picture of the resurrection of Christ. That's not the sign. The sign that was given was the preaching of the Word of God. Israel had had John the Baptist preach to them the Word of God. And now here comes Jesus Christ on the scene, the Word, manifested in the flesh, preaching the Word of God. And so you've got a bunch of people in verse 29, and when the people were gathered thick together, I mean, think about that. They're gathered thick together. Wouldn't that be a blessing if you had to come in here and fight for a seat? I mean, just so gathered thick together. And you think any preacher, when all of a sudden he gets a good crowd like that, well, praise the Lord. Look what I had to... not Jesus. That isn't what he does. What does Jesus say? I mean, what a response. You got all these people coming together, and what does he say? This is an evil generation. Why does he say that? They seek a sign. Listen, they didn't come to hear preaching. They didn't come to hear what God Almighty manifest in the flesh had to say to them. They just came to see a show. Come on. They just came to see some signs and wonders, see some people get healed, see some demons cast out. Oh, wow, did you see that? Yeah. But they didn't come for the right reason. And Jesus said, the only sign that you will get is the sign that Jonah gave to the Ninevites. What's that? The preaching of the Word of God. And there is no substitute for Bible preaching. There is no substitute. Why did you come to church? I hope it was because you wanted to hear Bible preaching. Amen. You know what a lot of people did today? They went to church. Why? Because they wanted to see someone get healed. And see someone put their hands on somebody and watch them fall backwards and watch the lady's dress fly up in the air and all the other garbage that goes on. And you go to a place like that, you'll have no problem getting a crowd of people gathered thick together. You know where you're going to have a problem getting a crowd of people thick together, gathered together? When it's just the preaching of the Word of God. Come on now. That's it. That's it. You want to get a good crowd? Get your signs and wonders and all the charismatic show going. You can get you a good crowd. But, oh, he's just preaching. He's just yelling. Huh? We don't need to go for that. You know, we got today, we don't have churches, we have theaters. Amen. This whole contemporary movement is nothing but theatrics. It's theater. It's not church. It's not run by pastors. It's run by stage managers. You no longer have congregations. You have audiences. And they're not there for the truth. They're there to be entertained. And if you doubt any of that, you check out most of these new churches. They're not going to churches to find out to get the blueprints for their churches. They're going to theaters. Because that's what it's all about now. It's not about Bible preaching. And you know what God said? There's only one sign. Only one sign you're going to get, generation. What's an evil generation? One that doesn't like preaching. That's what Jesus just said. This is an evil generation. Why? They're not interested in the preaching of the Word of God. There's other things they prefer over that. They'd rather be entertained. They'd rather have a show than just hear straight preaching from the Word of God. Jesus said, this is an evil generation. Don't preach at me. You know what they want today? They want you to share. They want you to counsel. They want a motivational talk. They want a conference. How about just good old time, right down the line fashion preaching? How about it? Oh, we don't need that. Don't preach to me. Uh-huh. That's what church is supposed to do. Is preach to you. That's what church is supposed to be about. Is the preaching of the Word of God. Brethren, that's the only sign there is. And when that goes away, there's nothing to replace it. There is no substitute for Bible preaching. There is none. We have our bluegrass jamboree. Praise the Lord for it. I'm glad we do it. And we get a turnout, 500, 600, 700 people, man. Coming out to hear music. And then we have our Old Paths revival, and we're excited if we get 90. You don't think there's a problem in America? You don't think God sees that? I can tell you right now what the trouble in America is. That's it. An evil generation is one that steers clear of preaching. We don't want to go there. We're not going to spend our time and our money and all just to go and hear some guy yell at us. Amen. Now, brethren, that's where we're at. And you know what a lot of the problem with preaching is? You know why people don't like preaching? I can tell you why, and you already know why. Because you can't control it. You're in here, you can't go like this because everybody will be looking at you. Now, you can try to like think about it, but see, you can't do anything about it. You can't turn the channel like you can at home. You can't turn the volume down, amen, like you can at home. You see, when it comes to Bible preaching and it comes to a real preacher, they're uncontrollable. Amen. Amen. I can tell you why most of the people that have left this church have left this church, and if you had any truth in your heart at all, you'd know it was so. We were looking over there in our U.S. history, and they talk about the Virginia Company, when they sent that first colony over there to Jamestown, they only brought one preacher with them. They were interested in money. They weren't interested in propagating the gospel. And the one preacher they brought with them, what did it say, students? They brought him because they knew they could control him. Amen. You know what people don't like about me? I can tell you right now. I know exactly what it is. They can't control me. Amen. He's uncontrollable. What are we going to do with him? I'm going to tell you right now, the only one that's going to control me is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, amen.
And let's all be honest, he has an awful hard time with it. So what makes you think you stand a chance? Amen. Now that's just how it is. You want some preacher you can control? Is that really what it is? Is that what you really want? You know what a woman thinks? She thinks she wants a man that she can control, but then when she controls him, she has no respect for him. We okay? That's how it goes. It's the same thing with a preacher. But then when you can control him, you don't have any respect for him. See? And most of those preachers, they have no sense. Amen. And next thing you know, they got their wife controlling them, they got the deacons controlling them, they got the women in the club controlling them. Everybody's controlling them. Amen. I've gotten in a lot of trouble because I'm not going to let some preacher's wife and an associate pastor from another church control me.
Amen. Amen.
They can control some other preachers, but they're not going to control me.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell me how I'm going to run my church and what I'm going to do.
Amen.
How dare he start a Bible Institute? Oh, I don't know how. I guess because God told me to?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Who do you think you... I'm not under my alma mater. I'm not a Roman Catholic.
Amen, amen, amen.
Alma mater means holy mother. You knew that, right?
Right.
Come on. I was given a book and I was told to go preach this book and that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's the preaching of the Word of God. That's what's needed and that's what's necessary. And you cannot replace it. You get some preacher that you can control. You know what that's called in the Bible? It's called a hireling. That's what it is. I'm not going to let any camp control me.
Amen.
You see? We'll support missionaries from the different camps. We don't care about any of that garbage. I'm not playing politics. That's not what I was called to do.
Amen.
I'm going to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
There is no replacement for it.
Right.
And if you're looking for a replacement for it, you're not going to find it. It is the only sign that God has given to this generation. It's the only sign you need. And there's a reason for it. There's a purpose for Bible preaching. Look there in verse 31. Verse 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and shall condemn them. Why? For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Compared to the wisdom of Solomon, that's all carnal wisdom. Compared to the spiritual wisdom found in Jesus Christ in the gospel in the New Testament. What wisdom is available today? You know where people are going to get wisdom? They'll get it when they're in church hearing the Word of God preached. And you got a bunch of people, they ain't interested in going to no church today. Why? They're fools. That's why. It's as simple as that. The only way you're going to have any wisdom at all is to get under the preaching of the Word of God. Now look back with me in 1 Kings. Let's look at this woman and what the Bible has to say about her in her little excursion here to go see Solomon. Because this woman is a picture, if you would, of the church. She's a Gentile queen coming to sit before a Jewish king. Amen. And see, in fellowship with him. That's the idea. Is that what you came to do today? That's the idea. That's the purpose. See? And you know what, man? She came from a long distance. She didn't care. I don't know how much money, how much gas she had to put in the camel and all that to get there. But whatever it took, amen, to get there, she's going to get there. See? And I praise the Lord. We have people in this church, they come a long way. They drive a long way to get to this church. Just about everybody, unless you live right here in Seminole, you're going to have to travel some distance. And that blesses my heart. It's encouraging to know there's some people that are willing to go the extra mile to hear Bible preaching. Would to God more would. Because there's no replacement for it. And there's a purpose for Bible preaching. Look here in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1. Here's this queen of the south, Queen of Sheba. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Look at verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house of God, that he had built, Here she is. She'd come to church. And man, she'd heard, but she had no idea. She'd heard a little bit, but she didn't understand. But man, when she got there and heard those words, look there in verse number 5. And the meat of his table. She didn't go somewhere where all she was getting was a little candy and a little milk. Amen. She went somewhere where she was getting some meat. And she was impressed, buddy. She had never experienced anything like that at all. The meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers and their apparel. All that stuff matters. All that stuff matters. His cupbearers, the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. She couldn't believe it. She was astonished. She was beyond amazed. And she said in verse 6, to the king, it was a true report that, hey, she got the truth. That's what she was going for. That's what she was looking for. And she got the truth, thank God. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. Come on now. Why'd you come to church? Isn't that it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And hearing the Word of God preached will give you that faith that you need. It'll give you the truth that you're looking for. It'll give you the meat, the strengthening, and helping you to go in the Lord. This woman was willing to go the extra mile to find a place where she could get what she needed. That's what Jesus Christ is talking about. Just as Solomon was that sign to her. That's a picture of the preaching of the Word of God being the only sign for His people. And what was the result of all of that? What was the result of her coming and hearing that, hearing those words from God? Listen, what happened? Verse 8. Happy, is that what it says? Happy are these thy servants. Hey, isn't that it? You want to be happy? Get under some good preaching. How about it now? Listen, it's when you're under the preaching of the Word of God, you'll walk out of here. You'll walk out of here with real joy. Amen? Real happiness. You ain't going to find happiness out there in that world. You keep looking. I'm telling you, the only thing you're going to find out there is whale guts eventually. That's all you're going to find. You want real happiness? You're going to find it in the house of God where the Word of God is being preached. Amen? And that's what we need. God said that is the sign. It's the preaching of the Word of God. Look back with me there in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11. Hey, that's what Jesus is looking for. Do you understand? He's looking for a spirit like that woman had. That's his point. That's what he's saying. If there would be just some people that would be more interested and be willing to go out of their way to hear God's words spoken. How about it? Hey, you know what I'd like to do today? I'd like to stir you up a little bit. Amen. You know what I want you to do for me? Would you pray for your pastor? You pray for your preacher that God will stir me up. And then when God stirs me up, I'm going to stir you up. And then when I stir you up, you get more stirred up to get God to stir me up. Come on now. How about if we kept doing that? You know what happened after a while? We'd get all stirred up. Oh, yeah, I'm bubbling, 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 bubbling in my soul. Hey, you kids know that one? That's a good one. Amen. That's what it is. There's within you a well of water springing up in eternal life. You know what's going to get that bubbling? It's the preaching. It's the preaching of the Word of God. That's what's going to stir you up. That's what's going to get you wanting to do something for God. She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Say, how do you know that? What is wisdom? How do you get wisdom? The fear of the Lord. And there's only one way you're going to get the fear of the Lord. It's when you're put under the preaching of the Word of God, and God comes along and taps right on your shoulder and says, you, right now. Amen. You, right now. I mean, I heard the stories and the testimonies when I was going to Bible school. I knew my own. I mean, God let me dream. I was in hell. At least I think it was a dream right before I got saved. Amen. I heard testimony of God that were saved and got backslid and got out of fellowship with God, and how God almost killed him. And how God came to him and said, you're dead by tomorrow unless you get right. And thank God they got right and they're living for God. But that stuff come on all the time. That'll go on all the time. You know how God will do that? Through the preaching of the Word of God. You know what you need to do? Just stay out of church and stay out of church, stay out of church. You know what's going to happen? You won't fear God anymore. You won't. And if you don't have that fear, you're not going to have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Calling, calling. Wisdom is the principal thing. And without preaching, you're not going to get it. You see, there's a need. There's a necessity for Bible preaching. Look there in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 30. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. You know what the difference was? Nineveh listened. And that generation didn't. Look at verse 32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment. In the judgment. Look at verse 31. In the judgment. In the judgment. Why did God send Jonah to Nineveh? 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. Why did God send the preacher? To warn. To warn of what? Judgment. Judgment's coming! That's why God calls preachers. To prepare you to meet God. To prepare you for judgment. Judgment's coming. Hey, if you're saved, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things done in your body. Judgment's coming. You ain't going to never worry about that. You'll never think about that unless the preaching of the Word of God shows you so. Amen. Amen. Hey, hell is coming. You're not saved here today? You're lost, none done? Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Jesus Christ said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Judgment's coming. Are you ready for the judgment? There's only one way anybody's going to get ready for the judgment. It's the preacher. God will do nothing except he revealeth it to his prophets. Amen. And God won't judge until he preaches first. And God uses men, and he calls men to preach for a purpose, because there is a judgment coming. That's why Jonah was preaching. There was a judgment coming. That's why God calls preachers, because there was a judgment coming. And when you take the fear of judgment away, you've taken the purpose for preaching away. And that's what's happened in America. My friends, that's the truth. People don't fear hell no more. Most of them don't even believe in it anymore. Say, why? Nobody's preaching it anymore. They're not warning. And God is just. And God is holy. And God is pure. And God will judge you. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Amen.
There's a bunch of army fellows, and they were all from Carolina and Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas. And anyway, they had this new chaplain come in, and he was doing their little ditty for their service for that day. And those fellows just asked him right out. They just said, "Chaplain, we just want to know one thing." He said, "Yes, what is that?" "Well, we want to know, do you believe there's a hell or not?" He says, "Well, you see, I've been to some of the best seminaries, and I've come to the conclusion that really hell is just a state of mind and a separation from God." He says, "Well, if that's the case, preacher, we don't need to be coming here no more." He says, "Well, why do you say that?" He says, "Well, if there is a hell, then you's a liar. And we don't want to hear no liar. And if there ain't no hell, what we need to listen to you for anyway?"
Amen.
Amen. Now that's it. That's it. Hey, what's he talking about? Verse 31. Condemnation. You see that word? "And condemn them." Condemn. Verse 32. "And shall condemn it." Condemnation. Judgment. "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. The wrath of God abideth upon him." You're in here today and you're not born again. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? You will burn. You will burn in hell and then be cast into a lake of fire. And you will burn. You say, "Why are you saying that?" That's my job. And if you are saved, God's judging you now. And God's going to judge it at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's my job. That's the preacher's job. To warn of impending judgment. There is a hell. There is a lake of fire. There is a God that knows all and judges men on this earth. Are you ready for the judgment? The only way anybody be ready for that judgment is through the preaching of the Word of God. Look with me in Isaiah real quick. Isaiah 58. I was going to quote it, but I want you to read it for yourself. Isaiah chapter 58. Real quick, holding your place there in Luke. Isaiah chapter 58. I'm just having a good time this morning. Appreciate the Spirit this morning. Amen. Isaiah 58 verse 1. "Cry aloud." What's the preacher supposed to do?
"I just like to share the Word of God with you."
No! What's the preacher supposed to do? "Cry aloud! Spare not!"
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, but he's a good tither. "Spare not!"
Amen.
But I'm trying to get more people into this. "Spare not!"
Amen.
"Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. And the house of Jacob, their S-I-N-S, sins." And half the time you ain't going to see half your transgressions and half your sins. And it's my job to point them out to you. Amen. And you don't appreciate it a bit. And I don't care. My job is to deliver the mail. You want to chuck it out? That's between you and God. But I have to give an account to God that every letter got in the right mailbox.
Amen.
Amen. You don't want to open it up. You want to make believe it was for somebody else. You want to, "Oh, it's junk mail. I don't." You go ahead. But I'm going to keep delivering the mail.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. 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 And when you get under conviction, I've had it happen so many times, people get under conviction and then they just get mad and leave instead of getting right.
Amen.
I've never understood that. What are you looking for? It sure ain't preaching. Because if it's preaching, you know what preaching's going to do? It's going to warn you of the impending judgment. And it's going to identify your sins. It's going to point all, even the secret things of the heart. It'll point them out. It'll bring them out. Not everything in one service, obviously. But you hang around here enough now, they'll get a light shined on it. If not from me, then from another preacher we have in. But that's my prayer. My prayer is, God, expose it so we can deal with it.
Right.
Amen. So we can get victory. Amen. That's the idea. It's only going to happen, brethren, through preaching. America's got a problem.
You know what a marriage problem is? It's a sin problem.
Yes.
Say, how do you fix it? With politics? How are you going to fix it? With more money? There's only one way to fix the problems of America, and it's by preaching, because the problem is sin, and the only cure for sin is the preaching of the Word of God. It's the only hope for this country. But Brother Ray, they're not listening. They're rushing helter-skelter with their fingers in their ear. They're running as God's calling up, Adam, where are you? They're running the other way. It don't matter. You just got to keep preaching. You just got to keep preaching. Amen. Now look back there, and I want you to notice something. Look in Luke. And also in Jonah, go back to Jonah 3 as well. But there in Luke chapter 11, look in verse 32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. What's the goal? What's the fruit of Bible preaching? God gave it as a sign for a reason. What's the purpose? What's the goal? What's the desire? Repentance. Repentance and faith. Look back there in Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so the people of Nineveh believed God, aimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Would they believe? Just some old roughneck preacher. 40 days, judgment's coming. They had some sense. They'll condemn this generation. They had some sense. They heard the preaching, they saw the judgment coming, and they did something about it. Oh, I'm a Bible believer. Really? Then if you're a Bible believer, you'd repent of your sin. Right?
Right.
Instead of glorying in it,
Right.
You don't believe the Bible. You don't believe judgment. You don't believe God's eyes are going to and fro, watching everything you're doing and thinking. You don't believe it. Some believe the things that were spoken. Some believe not. It's not the preacher's job to make you believe. My job is to simply warn you. Now, what are you going to do with the warning? Right now, right here. Right now. Right here in this place. God's been tapping some of you on the shoulder. He's been warning you. What are you going to do with it? The greatest blessing any preacher is to see someone come down to an old-fashioned altar.
Yes.
And get right with God.
Yes.
We want liberty. Brother Wayne prayed for liberty. That's what I want. I want liberty so that everybody in this place knows, if ever I need to get something right with God, I don't even have to wait until the message is done being preached. I can come out. I can get out of that pew. I can go on down. I can get a hold of the throne room of God. I can find a place, a shelter. I can find a place of repentance. I can get things right with God. That's the purpose of preaching. The only way you're going to get your heart right is under the preaching of the Word of God. You're not going to get that just from teaching.
Right.
It's going to take preaching. That preaching is going to right in there. Get your heart, get your life right with God. That's the design. That's the purpose in preaching. God chooses the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. When your true condition is exposed, the purpose is to bring you to a place of decision. And then you must decide. Whale guts, happiness.
Amen.
You make the decision. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves, your servants for Christ's sake. We need preaching. I need preaching. You need preaching.
Yes, sir. Amen.
This country needs preaching.
Yes.
Seminole needs preaching. You see, some of you, maybe just this year, you went to the doctor to get a checkup. Say, well, just make sure everything's okay. You know why you come to church? Huh? Right? You get under the preaching of the Word of God. You know what it's like an X-ray machine. It's like lab tests. It's like a CAT scan. You know, it's just going to go in there, and the Lord's going to show you, here, look at that, look at that, look at that. Look, you got to fix this up. You got to get this straightened out. You got, right? That's what real preaching is going to do. That's not entertainment. There's a difference. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have a good time in church. But it does mean, listen, when the Lord starts getting real and serious on you, you best do something about it.
Yes, amen.
I speak from experience. You want to play around, play around. You're going to get bad. You have no idea. 3 days dead in a whale's belly. Can you top that? Whale gut juice all over you. But they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Behold, a greater than Jonas. How much greater Christ? We need to hear preaching. Our country is in trouble. And you know what the problem is, brother? What did Jesus say? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Who was Noah? The Bible tells you who he was. He was a preacher of righteousness. The only one. Thank God we got plenty today. But at that time, he was the last one standing. The last one preaching. Righteousness! Judgment's coming! That was the message. That's always been the message. 120 years, flood's coming! Oh man, we've heard that before. Come on. It's coming! Oh, that's all that doomsday stuff. We don't need any of that. We've heard that before. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming! Who'd he get? His own family. Until the day that the flood came. I know they had to break Noah's heart when he went into that thing and God shut that door. And he realized what was going to happen to all those people. But I also know that at least he could say, well, I warned them. I told them. Whether they do anything or not, I preached righteousness to them. I told them about the judgment that was coming. I tried to get them ready for that day. But you know what? As it was in the days of Noah, it was an evil generation. They didn't want to hear preaching. They were going down to the flea market. Or they were going to watch the races. Uh-huh. Or they just had things. That was their one day to spend with their family. Come on. We don't need any of that. We'll go somewhere where we can just be entertained. Until the day that the waters came and took them all away. God's given a sign to this generation. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. Because the only sign you're going to get is the preaching of the Word of God. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for the preaching of the Word of God. It ought to be desired. It's the only way to warn of impending judgment. And it's the only way to bring true faith and repentance. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. God help us to do exactly what Paul told Timothy to do. What do you do in a case like that? You do what Noah did. You do what Jeremiah did. You do what John the Baptist did. You do what they all did. You do what Micaiah did. You preach the word. Judgment's coming. Prepare to meet God. Let's stand for prayer. Now, Father, I preached what I believe you have me to preach. And Lord, maybe some have been brought even now to a place of decision. I ask by your power and your spirit that you bring them to that place to make the right decision for thee. I ask that you bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. If we'd have the piano player come forward. If you just play something for us, let's have an invitation time. That means you're invited. God's spoken to your heart. Could I give you some good advice as a preacher? When God speaks to your heart, obey. Every time you don't, see, God's saying, you come right now. It's time. It's time to get right. And every time you don't, you know what you're doing? You're hardening that heart. And the next time, you know what will happen? That voice be a little bit softer. And then you do it again, and the next time, that voice be a little bit softer. And then after a while, you'll be just like the rest of them out there in the world. And the preacher's preaching the word of God, and they don't even know it. And they don't even care. And it doesn't move them. And it doesn't affect them. And you turn away your ears from the truth, and you will be turned unto fables. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Jesus said there's only one sign. It's the preaching of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs in our churches, brethren. You go in the average church today, that preacher, he's going to preach 15 minutes tops, or 30 tops, and that's it. Cut him off. But they'll sit for 2 hours of music, or 3 hours to watch a ball game. And it shows what people today think of preaching. You ought to love preaching like God does. I love preaching. I listen to preaching on my own without anybody making me. That's when you know that maybe there's hope for you. When you come to church and nobody made you. And you really came for the right reason. Not like most of those people. You come to hear the preaching. If it exposes your sin, it exposes your sin. If it warns you of judgment, thank God. But it should bring you to that place of repentance. That place where your faith is strengthened. That place where you walk out happy. Happy in the Lord. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Brother Nate, close us in prayer, please.